my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Today we are taken back to Maundy Thursday of Holy Week in the Gospel of John as we continue to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. Chapter 13 and 14 are where Jesus' farewell conversations with his disciples takes place before his crucifixion. What we know as the upper room in Jerusalem is where the disciples went that historic Thursday, and Jesus washes their feet, announces his betrayal, and blesses the disciples with the Last Supper. These events and conversations were preparing the way to his death, the way to his resurrection, the way to his life, and the way to salvation. Resonating Jesus' proclamation of today's message, I am the way. Have you ever been lost and needed help finding the way? I know I have. Remember life before GPS? Back then it was common to have a paper map in a glove box. Wrestling that map sometimes is as hard as finding your destination on the first try. If you were like me, you'd ultimately have to ask for directions. But that was only after driving around for a long time and then admitting I was lost. So I'd pull into a gas station and ask for help. More times than not, I would get a very descriptive and colorful set of directions. It could go something like this. Go down to Blacktop and turn east on the gravel road by the ice house. Take a right by the third Burma Shave sign, and the destination is Cattywampus across the cornfield. Somewhat confusing, I still wasn't sure I could find a way. The disciples were a bit confused in the upper room as well, and they were having trouble processing the direction they were to go. Through Scripture, we understand what he was saying, because we already know the details of the Easter story. However, these disciples, even though they have been with Jesus and witnessed many things, still did not comprehend what was going to happen. In their minds, their destination seemed very uncertain. They had many questions. Why does our master have to leave us? Why could he not stay with us longer? What will become of us after he is gone? The disciples wanted to know the route, the next turn, the ultimate destination of where this journey would lead them. Now that paper maps are long gone, we enjoy the luxury of GPS. Now when you need directions, you know how long it will take to get there, the road you must travel, the longest, the shortest, and or the quickest route. The disciples wanted to know where they were headed. And in John 14:5, Thomas was speaking on behalf of the disciples as he says, Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how do we know the way? Jesus knows it's not only the disciples that need guidance. The same message applies to us as we navigate our way through life. Just like Thomas was having trouble knowing the way, we do too. The road that leads us to trust Jesus daily, navigating in faith, keeping our hearts and minds on Jesus' way. As soon as we take our eyes off that road, we tend to make a wrong turn. Life is full of wrong turns, bad decisions, and missed opportunities. Before you know it, you might be headed down that road to a dead end. And that's when a voice says, recalculating. Whether we choose to listen to it or not. Even if we admit we are lost and want to seek the way, our defined course won't necessarily be a paved road. There will be potholes, deep ruts, and detours. God can and will navigate us down those challenging roads to bring us back to the right place. But it will take intentional effort on our part to rest in the comfort of faith. The faith in Jesus that he will lead us exactly where we need to go, walking in his light. Through Jesus, he is the way, our faith GPS. Jesus' declaration in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Through these words, he identifies himself as one who can intercede for us. He identifies himself as being equal to the Father and the Trinity. He identifies himself as being one, how we can live in harmony with God and one another. Jesus tells his disciples in verse 1, I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus clearly points the way, our eternal destination. Jesus also says he is the truth. What is truth? That question seems to be a barrier for many unbelievers. Truth is rooted in our eternal God who is all-powerful and unchanging. Jesus prayed in John 17:17, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. There is truth in the forgiveness of our sins. And the Holy Spirit wrote the truth of the living word on our hearts through baptism. So God's written word is the truth. Even though the earth and all its dwellings will pass away, God's truth never will. Lastly, Jesus says, I am the life. Last week we talked about the Good Shepherd and how he lays down his life for his sheep. Jesus, our Good Shepherd, laid down his life for us, his sheep. Jesus informed us that we should not be as much concerned with this life as we should be with eternal life. The scriptures speak often of the life to come and our life here on this earth. And as we follow the voice of our shepherd, we can embrace what that promise means to us. We can live our life in such a way that we are not chasing things that don't last, but chasing the things that do and have eternal significance, not only for us, but everyone that needs to find the way. When Jesus refers to himself as the way, the truth, and the life, he is giving us a better way to live our lives through him. He is showing us that by following him daily in faith, he will lead us to a better, richer, more meaningful life than we could ever find on our own. Best of all, he shows us the road to follow, to dwell with him forever. That's a lot packed into one I am statement. But through this, we get a clear picture of who Jesus is. We get a clear picture of where our destination is. We get real-time directions for our life that we can follow. As long as we keep our focus. Sometimes our internal navigation is like the wipers going full blast in a driving rain. The path isn't so clear. Satan loves blurring our path with worldly detours. He is hard at work all around us. Politics, greedy world leaders, equal rights, gender confusion, those demanding legal means to abort babies. I could go on and on, as it seems like that is all you hear about. A rare moment when you hear about something good. But if you think about it, whose voice are we listening to? Fox News, CNN, Facebook, Twitter? Sure, there are a lot of bad things going on in the world, but there are a lot of good things too. Just look at LCMS World Mission located in Iowa. They have presence all around the globe. Habitat for Humanity is building low-cost housings for families across America. Gideon's, wellness groups, Christian disaster relief, and many, many, many more. All of which do not get publicity, and they serve worldwide. Yes, there is breaking news all over the world about the community of believers growing, but you won't hear it on the nightly news. But then again, if we follow Jesus' way, We don't need to be seen by others or know the results. We just need to plant the seeds and know the Holy Spirit will reap the seeds that are sown. It reminds me of an evangelism Bible study I did here in Bible class a few years ago. An atheist online gamer got involved in competing with a Christian gamer. Conversation ensued back and forth each day until the atheist began to ask questions about his friend's faith. He finally concluded that if he could see a sign from God, he would believe. His Christian friend told him, "No, you won't. Jesus performed miracle after miracle and healed and raised people from the dead, and still they didn't believe. Why would one more make you believe?" Yes, the Holy Spirit worked through that conversation to bring the atheist into the community of believers. This sort of thing happens all the time, but we usually don't hear what road was taken to get there. Jesus can and will work through us to point the way, guiding our actions, providing us words to say, directing someone to get on the right road. Jesus did this with the disciples of 40 days after his resurrection, preparing them for the way. They needed better directions than a fold-up paper map. Jesus commissioned them to go and make disciples of all nations. Jesus was preparing them to grow his bride, the church to come. They would need to adjust from following Jesus to being leaders with the faith of Jesus' way in their hearts, building cornerstones in communities of believers that would grow worldwide. Jesus knew this and says in John 14:12, "Whoever believes in me will do the works that I do and will do greater ones than these." The Great Commission extends to us as well. Jesus' way is to love others, to serve others, and to bring God's light into the darkness of this world. We are called to do greater works than he did. That is hard to imagine how we can do greater things. Jesus fed and healed multitudes, but he was working alone. Today, because of the worldwide community of believers, there are truly disciples in every nation. That is because people like you and me throughout all generations have been spreading God's love. Look within the walls of this church. Many of you have, or will be maybe, spending and supporting different mission areas, Orphan Grain Train, LWML, Adopt and Chaplain, Going Beyond Sundays, the preschool, fire, shop ministry, food pantry, VBS, and many other outreach projects. Jesus is working through us, using the way to grow the Christian community. We saw this in the first lesson for today, at least Acts 6:1-7. The Hebrews recognized the importance of caring for widows. And when it became clear that they were falling short in this responsibility, they appointed deacons to ensure that everyone was taken care of. This shows how the early Christians put Jesus' teaching into practice by caring for those in need and working to grow the community. Jesus taught the disciples taught church leaders, and on down the line, sharing the way of Christ to others. And it spread like wildfire. Doing greater works than Jesus did is made possible because Jesus has been working through our talents by dwelling in our hearts. When Jesus refers to himself as the way, the truth, and the life, he's giving us a better way to share our faith through him. He then concludes, "No one can come to the Father except through me." Through his death on the cross and his resurrection, you and I are offered meaning, forgiveness, and the strength to live, both for this life and the life to come. No believer is saved by anyone other than Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Lord and Savior. Those, my friends, are clear directions. You will not have to write those down. Jesus tells us there's just one road. That one's right there. The cross, the way, the truth, and the life. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please rise as we confess our faith in the Apostles' Creed.